Good morning.
Morning.
You guys here?
Yeah.
All right, getting that out of the way. First and foremost, terrified to be up here because there's not a man or woman in this building that is worthy to stand up here and proclaim God's truth. But he calls broken men and broken women and uses them, and he transforms our lives through his message. And we're going to go through that a little bit today. But before we get started going down that path, I want to go back and just take a few moments. Let's review the past, well, I guess, 4 weeks to do three absolutes. But we start with absolute truth. That's going to be Psalm 119, verse 160. Just a piece of scripture that Patrick and I were discussing. But just listen to these words. The Bible says, "The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever." God's word is true. It is unfailing. It is everlasting. Just hold on to that a little bit right there. That is an absolute truth. And that is the word of God that he's given to us. The second one that Patrick preached on was absolute authority. We look there, Isaiah 46, verses 9 and 10. "Remember the former things of old, for I am God, and there is no other. I am God, there is none like me, declaring the end from the beginning, and from ancient times things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand, and I will do all my pleasure." Everything that we see, everything that we understand, everything that we know is reality, things that we don't yet understand is all governed under God's sovereign authority. So remember that. The last sermon that Patrick preached last week was the one I think that is very personal for every one of us, although God's truth is what brings us to saving faith in Jesus Christ. His authority is what gives him the right to do so and for us to be obedient, but his grace, man, God's grace is such an amazing thing. But Ephesians 2, verse 8, I tried to flip through my little notes. I need a tab Bible, so I made some. But Ephesians 2, verse 8 says, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. It's nothing that we've done. We are wretched and we are broken sinners, but it is the grace of God that his son died on the cross, was buried and was resurrected so that we might come to salvation through faith in him." Amen?
Amen.
That is God's grace to us, and it's not for us to keep to ourselves. Let's remember that as we go forward. But today we're going to take a route and discuss absolute transformation. So when we think of transformation and the way that in a natural world and not in a spiritual sense, you know, one thing that comes to mind, I think we think of maybe what starts as this, and when it goes through these stages in life and it ends up as this. I think most kids or maybe most adults, one thing that jumps out is a caterpillar. You know, it starts out as that egg. It's underneath a little leaf and it hangs out there for a little while. And if nothing eats it, it gets to turn into this little baby caterpillar. And then it starts eating the leaf that it was hanging out on. And then it goes through a couple weeks, a month. I'm not sure on the life cycle exactly. That's unimportant. But then it goes into this stage where it builds a cocoon, if it's a moth. Abigail taught me that. What a butterfly does is it goes into a chrysalis. So there's a difference between a cocoon. There's a book I think we all read in elementary school or was read to us, something, The Hungry Caterpillar or something like that. You flip it and you get to see it. That thing goes into a cocoon. Well, that's a fallacy. It actually goes into a chrysalis, but then it comes out and it's been transformed. It goes from this lowly little thing that crawls and eats and eats and eats, but then it's turned into something absolutely beautiful. And I just want to think of something. I was reading through some study notes. I don't have it on here. The Holy Spirit put on, hey, say this real quick. Remind me of this thought. When that thing is in this chrysalis, it is turned into absolute just goo and nastiness, right? But then its DNA is restructured and it's reformed and it comes out. And what we see is what happens when a butterfly pops out of that chrysalis or the moth chews its way out of the cocoon. It's this beautiful wings. The things that we see as those beautiful ornate designs on a butterfly or a moth's wings are actually the waste that's left over from that recreation process. And how does that apply to us? Just don't ever forget that God can use the waste in our lives and turn them into something beautiful. That's just a little nugget of hope
as
you go forward today, if you don't hear anything else today, God uses our brokenness and turns it into something beautiful, okay? But anyways, as we begin to just continue going through our absolute transformation, I just want to give a little snapshot of what it looks like from that butterfly as it starts out, goes into its chrysalis, and then pops out. So Ryan, can you go ahead and play that clip? It's a pretty amazing clip. So a lot of deep theology. All right, so that's Heimlich.
It's fire.
Heimlich from A Bug's Life. If you guys have kids that are under 20, or maybe if you're still 20 and like digital cartoons or whatever, you know who Heimlich is. Some things there. He didn't exactly look like a butterfly when he popped out, right? But did you guys notice the joy in Heimlich? Man, he'd been waiting. He'd been pushing through. So that's going to relate to us just a little bit. So you couldn't tell Heimlich, this guy, that he's not a butterfly. Because if you've ever seen that movie, man, he's just been waiting. He's been persevering. He's been just hanging on to what he knows deep down in his heart he's going to end up being. And that's this butterfly. So you see that moment of breaking free from his chrysalis, and it's a little unimpressive. But you couldn't tell him any different, okay? So as we continue on down through here, it says he knew that he was designed to be what he was designed to be, and he embraced the process to get there. And that's how I want to start to transition that funny little bit, take that caterpillar story or whatever, and start looking back into our lives. So as we go in through this message today, we'll see that we too go through stages in life. This transformation process that God puts into our lives as we profess faith in Jesus Christ, we start a transformation process. But if you would, I'd like to do something a little bit different this morning. I'd like everybody to stand. Let's honor the Lord as we read His Word this morning. If you will, please turn to 2 Corinthians. Chapter 5, starting in verse 16, we'll go through verse 21. If you don't have a Bible here with you today, that's okay. We've got it up on the screen for you.
Oh, cool.
You there? Say amen.
Amen.
It says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to Himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. Let us pray. Dear Father God, Lord, I just need to empty myself of myself. I've heard my name too many times this morning, Father God. It's not about me, it's about You, Lord. It's about proclaiming Jesus Christ and Him crucified and resurrected from the dead, Father God. Let us turn our focus completely on Him this morning, Lord. I just pray that You hide me, Father, but that You give me words that inspire, that touch, Father, that You speak through me to hearts that are reaching out to something better, Father. And those that need encouragement, Father, please use me to encourage in that way, Lord. I just pray that Your Spirit moves in this place this morning. It's in Jesus' name that I pray. Amen. So, as we begin into this absolute transformation, we know where we're going to be at in Scripture. I want to explain just a couple of things. Our process of transformation you can break it out and generalize it into two steps. We have a now, and we have a not yet, okay? So things that happen now, when you profess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, there's something that happens. Spiritually, you are completely changed. That is a now thing. That is an instantaneous thing. The word that Paul uses for transformation is metamorpho, or something along those lines. I'm not really that great at Greek. I'm a southern guy. But what Paul means there in metamorpho means to be changed into another form, something changed from the inside out. No longer are we the spiritually dead enemies of God that we are born into sin as. But rather we are transformed into His children, spiritually alive and belonging to Him. What that does is that now thing, we are justified in Christ Jesus. Where we were before, we were dead and in sin with an eternity of separation from God before us, guaranteed to be our eternal destination. Of putting faith in Jesus Christ, you are now justified. You are in right standing before God. Remember in Scripture there, it says the things that you've done will be no longer held against you. That's what that means. You'll be justified. It doesn't mean that you haven't done them, but it means that God doesn't see them. He sees the blood of His Son imparted onto you through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You are justified. You are in right standing before God. I don't want to hang up on that too much, but that is an instantaneous, that is a now thing. When you profess Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you enter that relationship with Him. So let's get into this a little bit. Go back to verse 17, if you'll reread it with me one more time, if you're still there. It says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. All things, which is all of creation. So again, we don't want to have a too high view of ourselves. We are a part of God's plan. But all things are being reconciled to God. Okay? It says, all of creation is being reconciled to God, and that is a process that we are part of. Know the supporting scripture right there is going to be in Colossians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20. It says, for it has pleased the Father that in Him all the fullness should dwell, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself, by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of His cross. Are we mentioned in there at all? Not really. It's not really about us, is it? It's about God and Him reconciling the world unto Himself. But we are a part of that process. We are the vessel that He chooses to use. Praise Him for that. It is God's work through the blood of the cross and by the power of the Holy Spirit that transforms our lives. Using a lot of scripture today because it's more powerful than anything I could ever conjure up. Titus 3:5 tells us this, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to His mercy, He saved us through the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit. God does the work. We're a part of the process. Praise Him that He loves us enough to include us in His process. See, we were born in the Spirit, and that is the moment that we're truly made alive for the first time. Something else that came to mind that I didn't have in my note. This week is my birthday. Coming up at the end of the week, I was spiritually born October 12th, 2003. That began I've been truly alive for 15 years. And it's an amazing thing to just be a part of that process. Not easy, not smooth, but very, very real. There are folks here that knew me before. And there are folks that probably never would have thought they would see me up here today. I surely never envisioned that for myself. But my birthday was 15 years ago this week. I hope each and every one of you remember your spiritual birthday. That's the eternal birthday. That's the one that God's going to see. So moving into the next point, I apologize. The next step after we're justified begins the long part of having a relationship with Jesus Christ, okay? You have that now aspect, you're justified, but you're a spiritual infant. There's a whole lot of things, there's a whole lot of sin that is in our lives, there's a whole lot of behavioral patterns that have strongholds of our lives. As new believers, especially in Christ. And the process where you start to become more and more like Christ is called sanctification. That's a big word, but it's happening to each and every one of us who have professed Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. Matt Slick, I wish Todd was here. That's Matt Slick is an apologetics guy. And me and Todd Ellis had several discussions about some of the things that Matt Slick said, and he's a sharp guy. But he defines sanctification this way. Sanctification is the process of being set apart for God's work and being conformed to the image of Christ. That's a huge part of absolute transformation, because that's what's happening to us. We are so full of sin, but we have the Holy Spirit imparted on us. It is a process where we recognize, we obey, we repent, and we grow more and more like Christ. That is a lifelong process headed towards something called glorification, which none of us in here will ever see until the return of Christ. Okay? But sanctification is the process that we all go through. So, to start with, what does that process look like? For us, to start with, that glorification I was just speaking of, we're not going to have little wings. You know, that's a misconception. When you get to heaven, you know, we're not angels. Not even sure if it's scripturally sound that angels all have wings. I'm not sure there. We're not going to go into that today. But we definitely don't get them. Sorry, kids. The folks who think that we get wings when we get to heaven, that is not true. So, what transformation does look like includes a new mind and a new heart in Christ Jesus. So a piece of scripture there that explains that really, really well. It's going to be Romans 12:2. The Bible says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." So being transformed by the renewing of your mind, and that's beginning to not think in the old way, not perceive the world in the old way, but beginning to be changed as the Holy Spirit changes you to see and to understand and comprehend and view the world around you in a different light. Another part that plays into there is we have a transforming heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them." Praise God, it gives us a new heart, because my heart doesn't want anything to do apart from Christ, for Christ. It wants to do for me. But thank God it gives us a new heart, a heart of stone, and replaces it with a heart of flesh. So as we start to have a renewed mind and a renewing heart, we begin to see the world bent towards God, and a mind that pushes against the pull of sin that the world throws in our faces every day. What does all that mean? It says you begin to understand the importance of what God is doing in your life, and the nastiness and trash of the world starts to begin a little bit more powerful, because you can see through that junk. You can see through those old temptations in your life, the trials that you may be going through, and you can begin to see that, hold on, there's something greater that's going on here. This process is tough, but this process is worth it. A new heart to persevere through those trials, with a mind that understands that what difficulties we experience could be everyday things, finances, that's a big part of my life, relationships, old temptations, they are temporary and they pale in comparison to the glory that we will one day experience. Paul had something, a little piece of scripture in there. Basically, it said just that. "I consider my current sufferings a joy in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us." The things that he is going through, the process that God is taking him through, is so worth it in comparison to the glory that will be revealed in us. That is true. It's coming. Start to wrapping that up. An example there, a new heart, a new mind. Thought about a whole lot of things. You know, it could be me coming from a broken home. A part of my testimony there could be, you know, what the difficulties I've had in my marriage with Katie suffering with bipolar, just different trials in my life. It's like, you know, those things, yeah, that's just kind of selfish. I want to think about what I see a process playing out, and the greatest gift that God has given me apart from salvation, that's my children. To hear Ben and Grace and Abigail pray. to see their heart for the Lord and how they are growing, man, that is a transformation. You know, that is a process, and their little selves have gone through a lot. But I am so proud to be their dad and to see the way that God is moving them and growing them. And church, let me say this as an aside. It's not us. It's what's going on in this body that is promoting that growth in my children. And I know there are a ton of you folks out here that see that growth in your children. Folks, we're not perfect in the way that we do church here. But man, we love the Lord. And we disciple. And we disciple our kids. And we help them along their process, their journey, their transformation, their sanctification. It's because we love the Lord as a body. And we lift Jesus Christ high. So I want to thank you guys for that. And I see the fruits of that in my daughter's life. Ultimately, there's a new world that's going to take shape that no longer sees others through the flesh. And this is referring to us, okay? So as you have this regenerate heart and this regenerate mind, the hard stuff's never going to go away. You're going to have temptations. You're going to have those old demons that want to reach up and grab you by the ankle. But when you have Christ and you have eternity and you have the hope of future glory in mind, you can persevere through those things because they're temporary. They're right here, right now. They're not what's to come. And when you give it to Christ, your shoulders widen immensely, if that's the right way to say things. You can endure so much more for the sake of Christ. He asks us to take on His yoke. It's an easier yoke. Not to try to do it ourselves. When we do it ourselves, I guarantee you we're going to come up short. It's going to be much more of a burden. The way that we are towards others, how we react towards them, should be filtered through the understanding of our brokenness and theirs. And the fact that it is a constant struggle should not surprise us. Remember how we started? We were born into sin. We were dead spiritually. But what we begin to do is live out the grace that's been poured out on us. As we grow in Christ, as we are being sanctified, as we go down this journey of transformation, we begin to understand God's grace more and more. And the Holy Spirit spurns us to replicate that grace in the best way that we can in our sinful nature and pass that on to others. That is our job. Be patient, because it's not going to be easy. Remember that we were, in fact, spiritually dead. If there's anybody here today that does not have faith in Jesus Christ, it is offensive. The gospel was never meant to be sugar-coated. You are spiritually dead, but there is hope in Jesus Christ. And if there's anybody here that doesn't have that relationship today, I pray that the Holy Spirit pricks your heart and you can see and experience God's grace and that future hope of glory. Remember that before we came to Christ, we were self-pleasing and self-righteous. We did what felt good to us. We filled up ourselves with what we wanted. Temporary stuff. And I think in most of our lives, it was never enough. You just cram and cram and cram, but it's all junk. It's trash. Rubbish. Patrick likes to say rubbish. That's what it is. We fill ourselves with rubbish. But all that stuff is just temporary. It's fleeting. So I ask you to please remember that the love of God transforms us. Be patient. And remember it's a process. It's a journey that God is using for His glory. Okay? When Christ returns, that process will end in glorification among a new heaven and a new earth, for we will not be by ourselves. A piece of scripture that I had highlighted for this was Revelation 21:5. We heard that this morning, but it would be good to hear it again because, folks, this is what's coming. In our lifetime or lifetimes to come, there will be a new creation, a new heaven and a new earth. Revelation 21:5 says, "Then He, being Jesus Christ, who sat on the throne, said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And He said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" The old is gone, the new has come. Now and not yet. There is that future glory of complete recreation that is to come. Okay? Little bits and pieces we've been building towards, or I've been trying to build us towards. how does all this really apply to us? We understand it's going to be a struggle. We understand that it's not going to be an easy road. If you're not a professing Christian, if you don't have that relationship, you still have a rough road. Bad things happen in this life, and it's because of sin. We live in a broken world. But Christ is reconciling it. He is making it new. So what do we do with it? What do we do with this process that we're on, this being transformed, this journey of sanctification as we ultimately end up in glorification? What we're going to be in is we're called to be Christ ambassadors. Okay? We are called to be Christ ambassadors. As broken as we are, as incomplete as we are, as sinful as we still are, God has chosen to use us. Okay? An ambassador is a representative that carries the authority given by their superior, and an ambassador's message is to be taken and delivered as if the authority was delivering that message himself. So think about that for a second. The mess of people that we are. God has chosen to use us in the midst of our muck, our rubbish, our junk, our trash, our brokenness, our sinfulness. He uses us to proclaim His message to the world. He uses us to spread His ministry of reconciliation. And the way that happens is by sharing the gospel, loving one another. Remember that grace isn't for ourselves, it's also for others. So He has chosen us to deliver His message of reconciliation. He's chosen us to speak to the world on His behalf as if He was standing face to face with the lost and broken world. And in fact, He is standing face to face with the lost and broken world because the Holy Spirit resides in each and every one of you. You are made alive in Him. We are His representatives. It's not our choice, it's His choice. Thank God that He's chosen to do that. Remember that the journey is messy, okay? Sanctification is a difficult thing, but that it has an eternal purpose, right? What we say, what we do, who we worship, how we worship, has eternal impact, okay? Remember, it's not about us. It's not about you. It's about Him, okay? But the journey is so worth it. Take just a few more moments. Let's read back over verse 21. If you're still there, thank you for still being there. I've lost my page, so be patient with me. That's what happened. I'm 47 tabs. Can you pull the scripture back up for me there, Brian? Do that for me. That would take less time than me thumbing through. Yeah. Go on to the next slide. To the next one. That's what I want to see. Verse 21 there. Says, "For He made Him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God, the righteousness of God in Him." He died for you. This is God, remember that this is God who has come down out of heaven, taken on human form in the body of Jesus Christ, and has died for you. He died for me. But also remember, it's not just the death, but it's also the wrath and the brutality that was poured out on Him on the cross. Spit on, beaten, crown of thorns hammered into His head. This is a perfect man who knew no sin. But He was made sin for us. So think about this. The God of creation, the most powerful thing ever, He is the author of power, spoke everything into being. Can you imagine the wrath He is capable of? And it's justified wrath. We deserve what Jesus got. This man was perfect. He was obedient. All He ever did was share the message of truth. But yet He took the beating. He took the nails in His hands. He took the mockery. He took the cross for us. Why? So that we might become the righteousness of God. so that we could be transformed. For we were once separated from God for eternity. You have a perfect man who said, come on. I'm the mediator. I'm doing this for you. All I need you to do is trust me. So the wrath and the brutality of the cross was the full wrath of God on sin, our sin. But praise God, that's not the end of it. We have an empty tomb that occurred. Okay? That's our hope. That's the truth that we know. And 3 days later, the stone was removed, and Jesus was not in that cave, that tomb any longer. Jesus Christ was alive then, and Jesus Christ is alive now. Amen? He transforms our lives. When we put our faith in a resurrected and fully alive Jesus Christ, who has conquered death, who has conquered sin, He can change your life. If you don't know Jesus Christ, today is a day to meet Him. Most wonderful person you could ever meet. If you do have a relationship with Jesus Christ, you're struggling on your journey. You're struggling, and you feel like you're not being transformed. Remember, sometimes we are a little bit like Hamlet. We don't always come out perfect. We had these little teeny tiny baby wings. That's okay. It's a process. It's a journey. And God's doing exactly what He needs to do in your life. So be encouraged, because there is a future yet to come in glorification, okay? Embrace the process, because God has chosen to use you. Don't run away from it. God's got you where He needs you, as if God would need anything. But remember that He's doing it for you to bring Him glory, okay? So are you embracing your experience? Or the journey that you're on, are you looking at it as, why me, Lord? Or is it, thank you, God, for having me where you have me? Because I know that where you have me is to glorify you. That's a tough thing. But remember that regenerating of the mind, the regenerating of the heart, that is a process. That's something where Scripture plays a huge part. Get into the Word, stay in the Word, and allow it to change you. Okay? And the last thing is, how are we doing as ambassadors of Christ? Are we sharing? Are we living out our faith? Are you seeing the world as it truly is? Like, why would we even have the audacity to be offended, really? You know? And I'm talking about the way that we see the world. The guy that cuts you off on the road. You know, the person that whatever circumstance that like miss you. Like, why? They're just broken people. They're broken people. Okay, so am I. I'm a broken person too. But by God's grace, I'm being changed. And I implore you, be Christ's ambassador. Be bold as you live out your life for Christ and for His glory. But I will say this, if you do not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, make that decision today. If you feel something in your heart, the Holy Spirit is pricking your heart, respond. You'll begin to see the world in a new way. If you're struggling through life's journey and you just need a little encouragement, remember that it's a process. Come down, we'll pray with you. That's what it's all about. It's about being church. It's about living sin, right? Let's pray. Father God, Lord, You've chosen to use us, Father God, not because we deserve it, but Lord, that's been Your plan. And Father, I just pray that we embrace the things that You do in our life, Father, and see them for what they are. Lord, that is a process that You have put into motion, Father. Lord, that You've sent Your Son to die for our sins, Father. And Lord, and through that, we begin to grow, we begin to see, and begin to understand, follow the world around us in a different way, Lord, that we can persevere and see the struggles as what they are, Father. Rungs in a ladder, so to speak, Father. Lord, that doesn't reach the top until we're with you. And Father, I pray that there's anyone here today, Lord, that doesn't know you. Father, if there's anyone here today that just needs to be encouraged, Father, I pray that now that you take this time that we call invitation, let it be a time of true worship, Father, for anyone who needs it in this moment, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.